My daughters got me a Fitbit and my wife a Fitbit for Christmas. Do you know what a Fitbit is? I'll tell you a little bit about a Fitbit. It's pretty amazing. It's a little gizmo that you can either wear on your wrist or put in your pocket or wear it on your shirt. And it tells you how many steps you've walked horizontally, like I'm walking right now. And it will tell you, because it has a GPS tracking system, and it will tell you how many vertical feet you climb, so that by the time I get up here, hopefully I've climbed one flight of stairs. It's got to be 10 feet tall from where my feet start to where they end, but it records vertical flights of feet as well. It records the calories that you burn. It records the calories you put in your body. It records the calories you put out and you spend. It records your sleep. It shows you how restful your sleep is or how fitful your sleep is. It's an amazing tool. And it also has this component where you can add friends into it. And so you can compete against one another and also help each other keep going when you get tired. It's an amazing thing. And for a person who's like myself, an obsessive compulsive, it's an essential thing because I look at these stats every single day, multiple times, to see how I'm doing. I have some interesting goals I'll share with you. I've, as of yesterday, climbed the equivalent of Mount McKinley. That's 21,000 vertical feet. I hope in 2 weeks from today to be able to say that I've made Everest. That's 30,000 feet. And done it mostly outside, too, I'm proud to say, with the exception of the steps. I've had to walk most of those inside. But I have been outside, so I do have an appreciation for what those folks feel when they do climb Everest. I got to tell you, it's not a vacation I would want to take. But more than anything, this Fitbit has given me a discipline. I have not had this kind of discipline, I should say, in years. In fact, after our daughters graduated from college, the first purchase that my wife and I made after they got out of college to celebrate was an L-shaped sectional. And I remember posting on Facebook, I can't believe that my life's goal now has come to this, that I've actually arrived at purchasing an L-shaped sectional in my living room. And from that point on, for the next several years, I use that L-shaped sectional every day. No exercise for this boy. And so now, I love what the discipline of walking is doing because it gets me out and about every single day and it makes me lose weight. It makes me feel good. My back aches are going away. My knee pain is going away. All of those positive things that walking do for you. In fact, walking is such an elemental thing. It's one of the things that's mentioned over and over in the Bible. The Israelites with Moses walked around the wilderness for 40 years. I bet they had a lot of steps on their Fitbits if they'd had such a thing. Jesus walked all over the Galilee and all over Nazareth and all the way down to Jerusalem with his 12 disciples. They're walking constantly. They're walking into people's homes. They're walking into synagogues. They're walking where the people are. And Paul, he does the same thing. When he goes out to found churches all over the Mediterranean, he's walking pretty much to those places. That's how people got around in the ancient world, walking. It's the oldest form of human locomotion that I know of. As my seminary professor Koichi Koyama used to say, it is the speed at which God moves. And we would say, why do you say that? He'd say, because that is the speed at which a human being moves. God, you see, is the creator of time. So God is in no hurry. God has all the time God needs, but we don't. So as we walk, we discover not only something about ourselves, but we begin to discover something about God who is not in a hurry. So I walk because it is the way that I can find out who I am as a human being. It is the way that I can connect with God on a daily basis. It is a discipline that involves all of my senses. Every day I feel everything, mad, glad, sad, and scared on my walks, especially when it's windy and 6 degrees. I can tell you how mad I feel at that time. My body reacts to it. I feel the hills as I go up. I feel my heart rate increase. I feel the level of the plains where I catch my breath. I feel the joy of going downhill where it's just like a piece of cake. When I walk with my wife, Dottie, I love that she helps me by giving me that companionship and keeping me going when my body says, why don't you just take it easy and quit? In this way, walking is probably one of the greatest spiritual disciplines that I have ever engaged in. It involves not only all of my body and all of my soul, but it involves all of my prayers and thoughts, because when I walk, I'm in constant conversation, in a sense, with God. In fact, it's the prescription given by Jesus to a man who had been lying about for 30 years, unable to be healed because he couldn't get himself up. And Jesus' prescription to him is, pick up your pallet and walk. You will be well. When you do this, your body reacts. Your heart rate increases, and then it settles into a beautiful rhythm afterward. Your blood pressure goes up for a time as you're exercising, and then it settles back down, and you feel a calm that is beyond belief. Your body appreciates what you're doing for it. You're toning your muscles. You're burning fat. You're losing weight. You're clearing your head out. Soren Kierkegaard, who was the author, the existential author who got me to really consider ministry as a career, as an idea, as something that I might want to pursue, even though my father and grandfather had been ministers, they were kind of in the background. I wanted to do something different than they. But Kierkegaard, my senior year, wrote a book, and in this book he talks about walking. He's one of the great Christian existentialists, and he talks about the leap of faith. And when he talks about that, he says, above all else, do not lose your desire to walk. Every day I walk myself into a state of well-being, he says, and I walk away from every illness. I have walked myself into my best thoughts, and I know of no thought so burdensome that one cannot walk away from it. By sitting still, and the more one sits still on an L-shaped sectional, the closer one comes to feeling ill. If one keeps on walking, everything, he says, will be all right. And I agree. When I'm walking, my mood elevates. It's fantastic. I have a neighbor who walks every day who's been battling cancer for now at least 5 to 6 years. And she looks fantastic. She continues to walk herself into health. In this way, she stays alive. I have another friend who walks and hikes and trains for his eventual attempt at walking the entire Appalachian Trail after he retires, a walk that is over 2,000 miles long. What an adventure. If you want to change your life's perspective, go for a walk. I do my best thinking. I do my best planning as I'm walking. The rhythm of walking generates a kind of rhythm of thinking that you don't have to think about. It's amazing how it just happens. It's organic. The passage through the landscapes outside stimulates a passage through the series of thoughts that seem to follow those landscapes wherever they lead. This creates a very interesting consonance between one's internal world, my internal world, and my external passage through it. New thoughts come as new landscapes emerge, and I see patterns coming together that I did not see before, that I cannot see at all when I try and do this on a treadmill. You have to get outside to do this. You must walk outside for this to happen. If you're walking on a treadmill, while it's good for your body, good for all of that, you still see this little screen, you still see this little thing, and it's just a repetitious thing over and over and over. And what has come to me as a result of walking these last couple of months has been several things, but the one I want to focus on with you today is what's been coming to me about our church. The where, how, and why, and what we want to do. And I want to share it with you. I believe it is possible for us to be the church known for excellence in this community in the following areas. I mean excellence. That we become known as the church that offers amazing hospitality to people who come. That we be known as the church that when you walk through the door, if you're a new person, your experience is such that you say to yourself after that experience is over, I want to go back. They made me feel loved and wanted and special. They took care of my needs. They pointed out where the bathrooms were. They made sure I had the programs. They answered any questions I might have. They offered me hospitality. That's something we already are doing, but we can be the best at it. We are the church also that can offer excellence in music in this community and excellence in our worship service. We can be the church that makes this town rock the spirit. That we are the church that offers this is within our grasp. And finally, we want to be the church that transforms human beings. making them into nothing less than mature, wise, loving, patient, kind human beings who are in the process of learning this themselves and in the process of training a disciple themselves, so that each of us will be a student and a teacher. In this way, we will grow by attraction and not in any other way. Today, the church has to compete with everybody else for that special spot on Sunday or whenever they want to hold a worship service. It's no longer a given that the culture just says, go to church, go to church. We are like the early church, the first century church, having to attract new converts. We are the church that has to seek out the lost, find out what their needs are, and see how we can meet those needs. We have to offer people a chance to see that when they come here, they will not leave here the same way. We want to see a place where when you come in and where you go out, you have grown, not only in your faith, but in your abilities as a human being to interact with others. We want to do nothing less than take immature people and make them mature. We want to take immature people and make them mature, as Jesus did. Second, we will need small groups whose focus will be to study God's word, to see what it is to be a person who manifests the fruits of what Paul calls the fruits of the Spirit: patience, gentleness, kindness, forbearance, confidence, loving, wise. We want to cultivate that in all of our people. To learn how to cultivate wisdom, to cultivate insight, to cultivate knowledge, to be taught about our faith so that we can walk in faith, and to learn how to testify to that faith is what we have to do. We have to be able to share what we're learning from our walk through life. We have to be able to say, this is what I know because I do this. This is my experience with doing this. I have some value now to share because I've done this. It's not theory, it's reality. And so that's what we do when we testify and we witness. We say what we've experienced in Christ to one another. And as we do this, we'll be constantly having to ask ourselves, are we helping people grow in discipleship? Whatever we do, we have to ask that question. When we put on a fellowship event, we have to ask the question, is this helping people grow in discipleship? When we do worship, we have to ask ourselves, is this helping new folks learn how to be Christ followers? When we teach at our Sunday schools, we have to ask ourselves, is this helping people want to come and study? Are the kids excited about coming to church? Do they bring their parents here, in essence? Those are the things we want to do. And as we do this, we'll be constantly having to ask ourselves how we're doing. So we're going to need feedback loops, ways of getting feedback from us all the time. How's it going? How was worship today? Well, the sermon was okay. The hymns and the music the choir sang were phenomenal, right? We want to make sure that we're constantly giving feedback to the leaders of our congregation so they know how to improve, right? In all areas, with mission. Are we doing the right missions? Are we making a difference in our community? And if so, what are we doing that's unique? What is it that we do that's different than other people that makes us stand out? And last but not least, we will need to walk through our neighborhoods. We will need to get out and walk through our neighborhoods and the towns that we live in simply because of this. When you're out walking with people, you never know what's going to happen. I've had some amazing conversations with strangers or people that I see every day but never talk to, like the postman, who's Chinese, but asks me all the time about Jesus Christ. Asks me all the time. Every time he sees me out walking, he says, can I talk to you for a few minutes? Sure. Love to talk about Jesus Christ with you. Love to talk about what I believe. Love to talk about what I know, and I love your questions. I love how you're searching, right? And in this way, we grow. It's natural. It's organic. You're not having to beat somebody over the head on a box top, you know, on the corner. It's important to see people where we are because the Holy Spirit has a way of bringing us together beyond our wildest imaginings. And in those conversations, you never know if you're going to be transformed or if you'll be transforming somebody else. You see what I'm saying? It's serendipitous. It's beautiful. It's an adventure. Walking is the great adventure of life. It is the first meditation that we undergo. It is the first natural spiritual discipline we undertake. Walking will bring your spirit and your body into a balance which is a wonderful thing because you will begin to feel that peace that Jesus talks about that passes all understanding. Every one of us will have pain in life, right? Every one of us will have pain. But when you walk, when you inflict the pain on yourself, you have some control over it. You have control over the pain. And that gives you a sense of mastery so that when real pain hits you in life, emotional pain, you can say to yourself, I can handle this. I've been through it. I've pushed my body to a painful place. I've done it on purpose, so I know what it feels like. And I know I can walk through the pain. I know I can move beyond this. It's a thing that gives us actually life. And when we stop doing it, we die. When we stop walking, we start dying. You lie around. You get fat. You eat bad foods. You do all the kinds of things that says, I don't care anymore. A lot of sugar, a lot of soda, whatever. You know, you just don't care. So when you get out and walk, you have to. Because it affects you directly. It opens up the world. It heals us. The more I walk, the more I need the help, too, of you. The more I walk, the more I need your help to do it. I can't do it on my own. So Fitbit, my little Fitbit, like the church, gives me a way to not only compete against myself and my friends, but it also gives me a way to cooperate with all of them, too. Because I can look at my Fitbit at any point in the day, and I can see who out there is also pushing me because they're doing the walking, and their steps are increasing, and their numbers are increasing. So it says to me, you know, you can do it. You can get out there. You know, so even if I don't win the weekly challenge or the daily challenge, it doesn't matter. I've already got my goals achieved. I've already achieved what I want to do. And in that way, all of us benefit. Nobody's left behind. There is no first. There is no last. There's just people walking. That's it. I love it. It helps motivate me, it helps challenge me, and it changes me. I love competing with my sister-in-law, Allie, and with Doug Cummings, a pastor in our presbytery, who, as we are speaking, is walking. I've been tracking him this morning. He's 2,000 steps behind me. So I want to keep walking as much as I can this morning. The church is like this in that sense. We come together, right? We come together on a Sunday morning to be revitalized. To be challenged, to be changed, to be lifted up, to feel what life has to offer. And then we go out of here and we walk. We walk in our neighborhoods. We walk in our homes. We walk to the stores. We walk to our friends. Whatever, we walk. The church is many things. It really is. But its single greatest gift to humanity, I think, is the witness of us, its members, to the healing power of God in our lives. How is it that God is healing you today? Are you feeling better than you were yesterday? Are you feeling as if life is opening up for you more than it did yesterday? Those are some of the things we want to be asking of ourselves. Or do you feel your life getting constricted and narrowed? Because we want to expand it. We want to get it big. We want you to be everything God has created you to be. You have all the gifts, all the tools that you will ever need already within you. Do everything that God needs you to do. Amen.
Steps in.